John's Gospel, chapter 14, reading from verse 15. And this is Jesus speaking. If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them. He will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I'm going away and I'm coming back to you. If you love me, you'd be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold over me, but he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave." So over these last few weeks, I've been reflecting on different aspects of our lives where we might experience the presence of God. And today we're going to be thinking about the blessing of the Bible. And I trust that we will be encouraged in terms of reading the Bible and making it a normal, everyday, as it were, activity for us to read the Bible, and not just to read the Bible, but to experience God as we read the Bible. Now, reading the Bible may be something that you do by yourself, and that is probably normally the way in which we read the Bible. We normally sit down by ourselves or go somewhere by ourselves, and we will read the Bible for ourselves. It may be that we read a short section, maybe even a verse at one time. Or it may be that we have designated for ourselves to read a whole section, a whole chapter or book or whatever it is. And there's lots of different ways in which we can engage in the practice of reading the Bible. And I'm aware that in practical terms, if you live with other people, if you have a husband or a wife, or you've got children, sometimes we need to give permission to each other to read the Bible. Now, you might think, what a strange thing to say. But we don't always feel comfortable about reading the Bible for all sorts of reasons. We don't always feel comfortable about reading the Bible and what people might think of us, even those closest to us. Or what they might say, we might feel a little bit unsure about that. And so it's important that we give permission to one another. In whatever way, either by saying that, just saying, you know, if you want to read your Bible kind of in the lounge or at the kitchen table or wherever it is, it's fine. If I see, I won't disturb you. And if you're reading the Bible and somebody else comes into the room, it's fine.
We need to treat that as just completely normal activity, as normal as eating. And I guess for most of us, eating is normal. You know, we need to treat it just as if many of us will go at a particular point of the day and go and get a cup of coffee or tea, or maybe you'll have a biscuit or a piece of toast or something, as normal as that activity is. So it should be that we say, okay, we'll read the Bible, and the rest of the family and so on, treat that as a normal and good and positive experience. So, going to be reflecting today on the blessing of the Bible as we do that. And I'm going to put some headings up, I hope. Here we go. And going to reflect on these. Okay, don't be scared, okay, by this theology that I've put up. Okay, so as we read the Bible, as we take time to reflect upon it, and as I say, that might be one verse a day, or a section, or a passage, or a whole chunk once a week, and so on. What does it do for us as we read the Bible? It teaches us theology. It teaches us about God. It draws us into life. It guides us in obedience. We'll reflect in a few moments. What does that mean? We find our heart's true home as we read the Bible, and we experience peace. So all of these things I'm just going to reflect upon as something of the blessing of the Bible. Now, the first one, it teaches us theology. Now, theology, most of us, we might think, I don't want to know any theology. Well, you do, because theology is thinking about God. And it's good to think about God. And the Bible teaches us about God. The Bible teaches us about what is God like. Many people have what I would consider to be a skewed view of what God is like. And so one of the reasons we read the Bible is that it might teach us theology. It might teach us about the nature and character and activity of God. And if we learn anything about God as we read the Bible, we're learning. We're doing theology. We're doing some thinking and learning in terms of theology. Now, that's just a word we use, same as the word, we might use the word biology or geology, you know, it's just a subject area. But that's what it's about. It teaches us about God. And in the passage, if you've got the Bible open, just look down that passage, verse 20. Jesus talks to them about God, and it's not exactly clear, a little bit of a puzzle, but verse 20, on that day, you will realize, this is Jesus speaking, I am in my Father, you are in me, and I am in you. Jesus is talking about theology. This is what God is like. And he's saying, on that day, there's a sense in which you will come to that point where you understand the Lord Jesus is bound inextricably somehow to the Father. There is a unity and a union between Jesus and his Father. But then he goes on, and you are in me. There is this relationship, this deep and profound relationship between Jesus and us. And I am in you, and he and us. And we're learning something there about theology. We're learning something about what God is like and the relationship. And we understand we don't have the Father out here somewhere, Jesus out there somewhere, and us somewhere in the middle, perhaps. But we're taught, as we reflect upon these words, we're taught about the relationship, the intimate relationship that there is between the Father and the Lord Jesus and us. And also in this passage, of course, Jesus speaks about the Holy Spirit. Verse 16, I will ask the Father, he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. Verse 25, all this I've spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've said to you. Again, we're reading the Bible, taking a few moments to reflect upon it and asking the question, what does this teach me about God? And just by just a few moments reflecting on this, we understand this beautiful relationship between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and us. And so, encouragement, read the Bible. Because it teaches us theology. It teaches us about God. This passage also talks a great deal about love. That reminder that God is love. And that life that we live with God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit and us, is all bound up and linked together by an abundance of love. And this is theology. I get excited about theology. Not everybody does, but I do. And I love learning theology. I love learning about God and what he is like, what he does, what his character is as well. So that's my encouragement, my first encouragement here in terms of the blessing of the Bible and seeking to experience the presence of God. And when you or I, when we read the Bible and we just read something and we take a few moments to reflect upon it and perhaps ask that question, what does it teach me about God? And we understand something, it's good sometimes just to let it sit with us before rushing on. Or maybe a good habit is to have a notebook and to write down, you know, what I've learnt about God from this passage. Now, I recognise that's maybe difficult if you're reading the book of Esther. Have you read the book of Esther ever? Do you know, tell me one unique aspect of the book of Esther. There's no mention of God in the book of Esther. So that could be an interesting question. What does this teach me about God? You know, if you read it, you know, really have to dig into that. But it may help you as you're reading, asking the question, what does it teach me about God? What's the theology going on here? To write it down, to make a note of it. So what's the second one? Draws us into life. And this is the Lord Jesus just sharing with his disciples, encouraging them into a relationship that is full of life. And all the way through here, he is encouraging them to come into this life. Verse 19, before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. Because I live, you also will live. In John's Gospel, chapter 10, Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have life in all its fullness. And as we read the Bible and as we just take time to reflect upon it, we experience that life that the Lord Jesus came that we might experience. And it takes time. Sometimes it's hard work and we work at it because we're not sure what God is saying to us. We're not sure what the Bible teaches us at a particular point, but it draws us into life. And one of the things that the Bible does, really drifting into this, the next point about guiding us in obedience, is that we are drawn into life because we learn how to live the way of Jesus. Now, the way of Jesus, the way of Jesus's life was that of love and mercy and kindness and forgiveness and goodness. And as we allow the way of Jesus to become our way, as we seek to live in the way that Jesus lived, a life that was full, so we find ourselves drawn into that life. And it's as we read the Bible, as we reflect upon the Bible and let it seep into us after over days and days and days and weeks and months and so on of doing it. And it is a lifetime's task. So we do experience this sense of being drawn into a fullness of life. One of the things that we need to be aware of as we read the Bible is it doesn't simply draw us into life, but it puts a challenge in front of us. The Bible will draw us into life, but it will also challenge us about leaving things behind. And I wonder sometimes, is that why we don't always experience the fullness of life? Because we struggle to leave behind some of our old habits and our way of living. And we need to be aware of that. As we read the Bible, there is that challenge that takes place in our own hearts and lives. What do I need to put down? And what do I need to take up? What do I need to give up as I grasp hold of the life and the goodness of God? So I encourage you to read the Bible and reflect upon it, because it will draw you into life as you take up and put down. Now, this third one, it guides us in obedience. It guides us in obedience. Verse 23. Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them and will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching." I guess sometimes when we talk about obedience, perhaps we have images in our minds of a strict parent. We could have a quick straw poll, couldn't we? You know, or a strict teacher at school. Maybe when we think about obedience, we think about a list of rules that we have to keep. And what the Bible does, as we read it and reflect upon it and allow it to become more part of us, it guides us in obedience. In the same way that a musician learning to play an instrument will learn over time, and any good musician will tell you it doesn't happen overnight, oh that it would, but it doesn't. You learn to play an instrument and you learn to read the notes on the page. And a musician, and if any of you, well, I know many of you are musicians, you learn to read the notes on the page. And you, there comes a point at which you can play the notes on the page. But then there comes a point at which you don't just play the notes on the page. There is a sense in which you begin to play, I think the expression is, with feeling. And you begin to express something that's almost not on the page at all. But you allow the music to become, or the music to become part of you, and you express that, and there is a beauty to what you say, to what you play. And that only happens over time. Now, what's that going to do with guiding us in obedience? And it is that in the Bible, as we read it, we understand there is a certain way to live. There are certain things we should do and certain things we shouldn't do. And one way we can respond to that is to make a list of them and to say, okay, I'm going to make sure I do this and do this and do this and I don't do that. And they can be just lists, a bit like black notes on a white page. But what happens is that as we read the Bible over time and reflect upon it and let it become part of us, is that it's no longer about just reading notes on a page, not just about ticking boxes in terms of what we should or shouldn't do. But we begin to live in the Spirit of the Word. We begin to live in the Spirit of the Word. And it's really the principal reason why I chose this particular passage to read as we reflected on this theme of the blessing of the Bible. Verse 15, if you love me, keep my commands. Again, there's obedience there. And then Jesus says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. And verse 26, again, I've said it, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. And so Jesus said, I don't want this life of yours of obedience just to be ticking boxes. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to come to you and fill you. The Holy Spirit is going to be your friend who walks alongside you. He's going to be your advocate. He's going to be the one who speaks for you, who encourages you, who challenges you, who feeds you. And that way, as we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, as we read the Bible, so our obedience is not some awkward black and white thing, but we begin to live in the Spirit of the Word. And I've already mentioned it, this passage speaks so much about love. And when we seek to live in love, we begin to live in more of a flow, more of a spirit of what Jesus wants, rather than just ticking boxes. And so I encourage all of us, as we read the Bible, to understand it will guide us in obedience. And we will become, in a sense, more fluent not able just to live in the flow of the Spirit of God. So it teaches us theology, it draws us into life, it guides us in obedience, and we find our heart's true home.
He finds our heart's true home. Verse 20 again, on that day you will realize that I am in my Father, you're in me, and I'm in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. And then again in verse 23, Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them.
Make our home with them. And as we read the Bible and experience the blessing of the Bible, we find, I think, our heart's true home. And I've quoted before the statement, I think it's the opening sentence of St. Augustine's book, his Confessions, where he says, you know, we will never find peace until we find it in you, O God. And Augustine was a man whose mother was a devout Christian. And I think the sense is that Augustine's mother despaired of her son. The very last thing Augustine wanted to be was a follower of Christ. He wanted to do everything but be a follower of Christ. And so he went out and basically enjoyed himself, in his own words. He went out and had all the relationships he wanted. He drank as much as he wanted. And his mother really despaired of him, but prayed and prayed for him. And then one day Augustine was met by God. And as he reflected upon that experience, he realized, I was searching all the time to find my home. But I never found it until I found you. And I found my home in you. And it's as we read the Bible, as we allow the Bible to become part of us, as we flow in the Spirit of the Word of God, we find our heart's true home. And of course, this is linked to that next one. We experience peace. To be at home is to be at peace. To be at home, you know what it's like. If you're at home, you know you can put your feet up. And you know you can be who you are. And you can relax. And it's a safe place and a secure place. It can be like a sanctuary when so much else is going on in your life. When you go home, that is a place where you're loved for who you are. And you can know peace. And so Jesus speaks to them. Verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I don't give as the world give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. And that phrase you'll be aware is right at the beginning of verse of chapter 14. Don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. As we read the Bible, we begin to experience peace. Now, it doesn't happen instantaneously. Sometimes it might, but generally it won't. And all of these will happen in bits. It won't be all of it. But as we read the Bible, and I encourage you to do that, as we reflect upon it, it will teach us theology. It will teach us about what God is really like, that he is love, that he is light, that he is goodness. Reading the Bible will draw us into the fullness of life. It will encourage us to live a life that more reflects the life of Jesus. And we will know that fullness of life for ourselves. It will guide us into obedience. And that can be a little bit awkward to start with. You know, we're not sure how to live and so on. But the more, as we welcome the Holy Spirit, we become more fluent in just living the way of Jesus, living in obedience to him, and we find that is a joyful thing. And we also find our heart's true home, and we find peace as we do this. Now, everything I've shared with you, this is a lifetime's task, isn't it? It's a lifetime's task. You begin now, and this time next year you think, cracky, I'm still going. And in 10 years, and 20 years, and 30 years, you're still going. And there is a richness to what we read in the Bible. So all of these that are shared with you today will continue to be true for you, and you'll continue to experience them for yourself and be able to give testimony to them. So I encourage you, read the Bible. Welcome the Holy Spirit as you read the Bible, that you may not just read words on a page, you might experience God as you do so. Let's pray together.
Your word, O Lord, is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. Your word is life. Father, we pray for ourselves that you would help and encourage us, and we would help and encourage one another in reading the Bible, that in reading the Bible we may come to know you. May your help and your blessing rest upon us as we do so. We pray in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. 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 And I do encourage